There was an odd note in his voice that squeezed my heart, even though I couldn't say exactly why. "What makes you say that?" One of his eyebrows lifted.
"The five of us are all bound together to some extent, Sparks. When you confirm that connection with one, you'd better believe the rest of us know it."
My cheeks warmed at the thought of the other guys sensing what Nate and I had been up to a couple hours ago. But why shouldn't they know? Eventually, the way things were meant to be, it would be all of us. I rubbed my mouth. Well, yeah, I guess it would make sense to visit Nate's kin next, the way things are. West made a noncommittal sound. I wasn't sure what to make of that, but the conversation seemed to be over, so I sped up. We had to be getting close to the meeting spot anyway. I couldn't afford to be distracted from that. The path swerved. Aaron was just disappearing from sight up ahead. I hurried even more, my nerves prickling, and a bright feathered shape swooped out of the sky in front of me. Alice transformed as she plummeted, but with complete control. She landed on her feet with a thump, her hands already rising in a defensive stance. She'd kept her eagle talons protruding from her bare feet. They looked nearly as sharp as my dragon claws. Before I could take another step, Alice's right arm shot out to motion me back. I halted. My ears perked, but I didn't hear anything ominous in the forest around us. "What's wrong?" "That tree." She waved a fist at the broad juniper a few feet ahead of us, by the end of the path. "Something's off about it. It got this glint to it when you came close." "The tree?" I cocked my head at it, but it still looked like a totally ordinary plant to me. Alice took a few steps closer, totally at ease in her nakedness. I'd been around shifters enough in the last few weeks that their casual nudity was starting to seem a lot less weird to me. The muscles running through Alice's sturdy frame tensed. The guys had stopped. Aaron, backtracking.
"What's going on?" he said.
"I think there's a trap in this tree," Alice said, jabbing a taloned foot toward it. "But Serenity is the one it's set to activate for." Marco sniffed the air.
"There is a whiff of fae around here. I assumed it was from their arriving at the meeting place."
"It sounds like there's an easier way to find out," I said. "Why don't we see what the tree does if I come closer? Unless you don't think it's worth the risk." Alice clearly had a lot more experience in this kind of situation than I did. Her mouth flattened, but she nodded. "Slowly, and be ready to retreat." I edged one careful step and then another along the path. Nothing moved in or around the tree. Maybe she'd been wrong. I trusted her instincts, but we were also all a little on edge. I eased my foot a few more inches forward, and all at once the entire tree lunged. Its trunk wrenched forward and its branches dove down as if to swallow me in their grasp. I ducked, stumbling backward. Alice leapt to meet the tree, her legs slashed through the air, talons severing one branch. Her elbow slammed into another to snap it. A shower of leaves rained down on me. I spun back toward it, a shift already prickling under my skin. Alice stood panting, her lips curled in a fierce grin. Twigs and broken branches scattered the path. The battered tree had pulled back into its original pose as if it had never moved. "What the hell was that?" I said.
"Alice was right," Aaron said. "There must be an enchantment on the tree. It was set to descend on you when you came by. As soon as you backed away, the effect lifted." "A fae enchantment," West spat out. "What else could use magic like that?"
My heart thudded. "Do you think the monarch..."
"She wouldn't dare,"
Nate rumbled in a low, dark voice. A grizzly's rage flashed in his eyes.
"She wouldn't," Marco agreed. "But we've already seen that her underlings don't mind finding ways to circumvent the treaties. A few bad apples, I'm sure she'd say."
West bared his teeth.
It doesn't matter. We take responsibility for the rogues. Every Fae is hers to deal with.
And we'll make sure she does, Aaron said. When we meet her, it's almost time.
He glanced at me.
If you give the tree a wide enough berth, the trap shouldn't activate again.
I nodded. With one last glare at the juniper, I picked my way through the brush on the other side of the path. The tree didn't stir. I let out my breath when I'd come around the bend back onto the somewhat clearer ground.
I'd better get back to the skies in case they've got more surprises for us, Alice said, her legs flexed to spring into the air.
Thank you, I said quickly, catching her gaze. I've never seen anyone fight a tree before, but you were pretty amazing at it.
Her grin came back. Nothing's ever gotten the better of me yet. I'll have your back, Serenity.
I appreciated the promise, but I approached the neutral meeting spot with my nerves even more on edge. I was finding it less and less easy to believe that the Fae Monarch was an ignorant bystander in all this. Whatever friendship there might have been between Fae and Dragon Shifters before, something had gone very, very wrong.
The trees thinned and then fell away completely. We came out into a wide clearing, nothing but grass and a dabbling of little pink flowers from one end to the other. The sky was stark blue overhead. The warm breeze warbled faintly through the branches around us.
We'd only taken a few steps into the clearing when the Fae delegation appeared on the other side. There had to be at least 10 of the tall, emaciated-looking figures with their blue-white skin. The cloying smell of them made my nose wrinkle. At the front of their procession strode a woman even taller than the others. The silvery blonde waves of her hair streamed across her shoulders and down over her filmy dress all the way to her ankles. Her large eyes glittered like black diamonds. A faint shimmer rose off her hair and skin. A crown of living vine coiled around the top of her head, but even without that, I'd have known she was the monarch. My back stiffened, but I kept my expression as calm as I could manage. We walked to meet the Fae in the center of the clearing, Aaron and Nate drawing close by my sides, West and Marco flanking us. The other avian shifters circled in the air just overhead.
Monarch, Aaron said with a slight dip of his head. We appreciate you coming out to speak with us.
The Fae woman's gaze barely glanced off him. She looked me over, her face impassive.
So, this is the new dragon shifter.
So, this is the woman who killed the last one. I wanted to say, but I held my tongue. Direct accusations of murder weren't very diplomatic.
Here I am. It's good to meet you, so I can finally get some answers.
And what is the reason for this parley?
The monarch asked, her gaze sliding back to Aaron now, as if he were more worthy of her attention than me. I couldn't help bristling a little.
I requested it, I said, because I have questions about the Fae presence in the mountain over Sunridge, and also, now that I'm here, about the enchantment placed on a certain tree along our path through the neutral ground.
The monarch frowned, her eyes carefully blank.
Sunridge? The name sounds vaguely familiar, but I can't say it's a place I've given much consideration. And I know nothing about any tree.
Yeah, right, she didn't. There was magic on it, I said. An enchantment for it to attack me? No one except a Fae could have done that.
Are you sure? You haven't exactly had much exposure to our kind, have you? From what I understand, you haven't seen much even of your own people.
Okay. Now my hackles were really up. Was that how she wanted to play this? Nate stirred, but I held out a hand for him to stand down. I didn't need him fighting this battle. I wasn't going to make it far as Dragon Shifter unless the Fae Monarch learned to respect me.
I know enough, I said,
and I have my alphas when I need extra guidance. I didn't need any help at all to see what your people did to my mother on that mountain. A flicker of something passed through the Fey woman's face, so fast an ordinary human wouldn't have caught it. But I wasn't human.
The last I heard of your mother, she'd run off from the kin groups many years ago,
the monarch said. But she was lying. I felt it through every bone in my body. I drew myself taller. Maybe not as tall as her, but I had a whole lot more meat on my bones, so I had to look a little intimidating. There is a treaty between your people and mine. You will take responsibility for the crimes committed by yours. But if you really want to try me, go ahead and lie to my face again. Behind me, Marco smothered something that might have been a snicker. A chill glittered in the monarch's eyes.
Are these your people?
She said in a cutting voice.
From what I can see, you've barely accepted two of their leaders as your chosen mates, and you're speaking to me of responsibilities.
My throat went abruptly hot, fire flickering at its base. My skin tingled with the itch to take on its scales. I kept the impulse to shift in control just barely. It's still my life. I will make my choices in my own time. I'd have been more ready for them if your people hadn't taken my mother from me. But I am ready to make you answer for those crimes. Aaron took a slight step forward. His voice rang out.
As Alpha of the Avian Kin, I stand with Serenity Drake completely.
Nate lifted his head.
As Alpha of the Disparate Kin, I stand with Serenity Drake completely.
Marco moved to stand at Aaron's side.
As Alpha of the Feline Kin, I stand with Serenity Drake completely, and I will for the rest of her life wherever it takes her.
I'd never heard him sound so serious. A piece of the hurt I'd still been feeling fell away. Before I could wonder if the wolf shifter would extend his loyalty that far, he appeared next to Nate.
As Alpha of the Canine King, I stand with Serenity Drake completely. When she demands your respect, she speaks for all of us.
He glowered at the monarch. The Fey woman made a faint sniffing sound.
I have told you what I know. I have seen no proof of the crimes you claim. If all you've called me here for is baseless accusations, I've given you enough of my time.
She swiveled on her heel. Her fey attendants parted around her to give her room to pass through. She really was going to just walk away from me, as if I had no authority at all, as if she owed me nothing after everything her people had taken from me. No, she was going to learn right this moment what a mistake it was to dismiss this dragon shifter. It didn't matter how long I'd been gone or how some of the bigwigs might talk about me. I was here now with my alphas at my side, and I claimed this power as mine.
Stay right there,
I snapped, my voice already hoarsening. I had just enough wherewithal in my fury to tug off my silk dress as the shift came over me. My muscles stretched and sang, the burn only pleasant now. Flames seared the back of my lengthening throat. I rose and loomed, flexing my massive wings. The Fey Monarch whirled around. She didn't look so tall now, standing beneath my dragon's body. I peered at her with narrowed eyes. She gave me a cold smile. A crackle of magical energy glittered around her body.
To attempt to harm me would be an act of war, she sneered.
But I didn't want to harm her. No, the sizzling in my throat was the fire of the crystal, the fire of that gift of truth. I'd been afraid to try to claim it before, but I shouldn't have been. It was mine, and I trusted myself. This woman needed to know exactly who she was dealing with. I opened my mouth and breathed from deep down in my chest, where a ring of loss ached around my heart. Flames poured down over the monarch. They shattered her protective shield. Her attendants shrieked, but the flames weren't the bright yellow and orange flames that would have burned her to a crisp. They flickered white and violet, surrounding the Fey woman in sharp shards of light, burning through to the truth. Her eyes widened, her lips parted, her hands clutching at the base of her throat as if she were trying to hold back her voice, but it spilled out anyway, wavering through the flames.
"I heard of your mother's death," she said, sounding choked. "I knew a group of Fey were responsible, but no one else did, so I let it be. I have not punished them. There are others I've heard speaking out against the Shifters. I haven't encouraged them, but I haven't stopped them either. If one used magic against you today, I can easily guess who it was."
Her attendants fell back around her, gaping at her admission. Aaron fixed her with a stare of steel.
"Why have you let those crimes slide?"
The monarch's lips twisted, but my flames still surrounded her.
"It's been easier for us while the Shifter community was disordered. We've been able to claim more territory, refuse more compromises. I was happy to let that situation continue."
I winced inside at the admission. A hotter fire tickled at the base of my throat, wanting to punish her for all the hurt she'd allowed to happen. I held it at bay and sent another gust of the truthful flames over her. My dragon form was starting to quiver with the strain of this unfamiliar power.
"Will you accept Serenity's authority and ours from now on?"
Nate asked.
"Yes,"
the Fey woman gasped.
"As much as I have to."
I didn't like the sound of that, but I couldn't produce another burst of flames. I let them peter out, just barely holding on to my dragon shape. I stayed there and glowered down at her. The monarch rubbed her hands over her arms as if trying to dispel the fire that had already vanished. She stared up at me. For the first time, I saw fear in her eyes. Fear, and a hint of rage underneath it. I'd gotten the better of her this time, but she wasn't going to forget it. Whatever conflict had been brewing between the Fey and the Shifters, it was far from done.
"These accusations don't seem so baseless now that you've admitted they're true, Monarch," Marco said archly. "Where do you say we go from here?"
She seemed to catch a scowl.
"I will make reparations," she said. "The Fey who have acted against the Shifters in any way will be punished according to the treaty. So will others in future if I hear of it myself. You have my word."
That last sentence settled in the air with a supernatural finality. We could trust her, at least that far. I guessed we couldn't exactly ask her to commit to feeling any particular way about the Shifters. I bowed my head, blinking at her, and a shiver passed through her skinny body.
"Does that resolve our business here?"
she asked.
"Other than one thing," Aaron said. "When you address your people who've acted against us, that should also include any who've helped rogue Shifters make attacks on us or the rest of our community. Agreed?"
She nodded with a jerk.
"Agreed."
She shot me one last look before she turned with a sweep of that flowing hair. A look that told me she was beaten for now, but not forever. As victories went, I'd take that. When the Fey had disappeared back into the forest, I released my dragon form. My body crumpled with a shudder. I gasped a breath down my suddenly sore throat. The power I'd been granted had felt amazing, but it had left my body throbbing. Nate offered me my dress. I slid it back on, regaining my balance. "All right," I said. "Let's go home."
21. Nate. "I don't know why I feel so shaken up," Ren said. "I already knew she was dead and that the Fae killed her. She rubbed her hand over her face. We were standing in her bedroom in front of the mirror where she'd been combing the dark brown waves of her hair. They spilled smoothly over her shoulders and the neckline of the teal dress she'd chosen for tonight's farewell gala. Tomorrow we were moving on to my estate to the south. I rested my hand on the small of her back, and she leaned into me automatically. Touching her had always made my heart leap, but nothing could compare to the steady heat of the connection that now thrummed between us, a bond that should last as long as we both lived. "You didn't know how much approval those Fae had from their monarch," I said. "You had to hear her talk as if your mother's murder meant nothing to her. Of course that bothered you."
"Yeah, I guess that makes sense."
She drew in a long breath and squared her shoulders.
"Back out into the fray,"
I chuckled, taking her hand as we headed for the door. "Just remember that you did what you came here to do. We can't bring your mother back, but we are getting justice for her. And you got it using the power she always wanted you to have." Ren nodded, her hand rising to the hollow of her throat. The courtyard in front of the Avian estate was already teeming with shifters, like it had been when we'd first shown up 2 nights ago. A band was playing a jaunty tune on the steps, and people everywhere were dancing. Ren swayed my arm in time with the music, but I had 2 left feet when it came to keeping a rhythm. "I think I'd better hand you off to Aaron if you're in the mood for dancing," I said with a grin. The eagle shifter was already making his way over to us.
"I'll be back,"
Ren said, with a quick peck on my lips. I watched as Aaron swept her away, spinning her and dipping her. Our dragon shifter laughed, her eyes shining, and the warmth in my heart grew. She was finding her home here with us, in spite of all the tragedy in her life before now.
"And we're staking our livelihoods on that?" a voice muttered just behind me. The grizzly in me bristled automatically. I glanced around and spotted one of the couples who'd been sitting across from Ren at last night's dinner, one of the ones who'd sniped at her for every minor mistake. The man was the one who'd spoken. The woman was shaking her head in dismay.
"I know, it's shameful."
I gritted my teeth against a roar. My fingers itched to sprout my claws and smack those 2 bird-brain heads together. My hands clenched, and then I remembered everything Ren had said to me before. She wouldn't want me making a scene in the middle of this party on her behalf. I could defend her without going into full bear mode.
"You'd almost think..."
The husband started, and I cleared my throat, turning all the way toward them.
"You'd almost think what?"
I said, letting my voice drop just low enough to be mildly menacing. The couple startled, their stances stiffening. The man's jaw tightened.
"I'm allowed to have whatever opinions I happen to hold about the people ruling over us."
"True,"
I said.
"But if you'd seen how Serenity brought the monarch of all the Fae to her knees earlier today, I don't think you'd be complaining. Or do you think you could make the Fae tremble at the sight of you?"
His mouth opened and then closed again as he struggled for words.
"Yeah, that's what I'd thought." "Talk to the guards who came along with us if you don't trust your own Alpha's word," I said. "They'll tell you just how powerful our dragon shifter is."
"I suppose we will," the woman said.
She grasped her husband's elbow and tugged him away. Which was for the best, because if they'd tried to take another jab at Ren, I couldn't have promised I'd have kept my animal instincts in check any longer.
"Defending our dragon shifter's honor again," West said dryly.
He'd come up beside me while I'd been distracted. I frowned at the wolf shifter. "If you're here to snark, I don't really want to hear it. After this afternoon, even you have to admit she's something special." West's gaze slid past me to where Ren was still dancing with Aaron. Her hair flew out around her face as he whirled her around. Joy and love shone on her face. I couldn't figure how any of us could have seen that and not felt his heart melt. And maybe none of us could. West's expression softened slightly. So did his voice.
"Maybe I do," he said. "Watching the monarch turn tail and flee... that really was something, wasn't it?"
A glow of pride filled my chest.
"That was our dragon shifter.
That was my mate."
Ren. A sudden hush fell over the crowd around Aaron and me. We'd just stopped to catch our breaths after dancing for 3 songs straight. I looked up, and my body tensed. A thin, pale figure had appeared at the edge of the courtyard, gleaming against the darkness. A fey man. He held his hand up with a motion I instinctively knew was a truce gesture. He meant no harm here. But that didn't make me happy to see him. Aaron stepped forward to meet the fey man, and I followed. The man's searching gaze stilled when it landed on us. He held out his other hand, which was shining with a sharper light.
"The monarch wishes you to know her word has been kept," he said.
He whipped his hand upward. A scattering of tiny lights burst apart over our heads. The fragments glittered and faded into the cooling night air. "What?" I started, but the fey man had already vanished. Murmurs rose up through the crowd, startled and awed. I turned to Aaron. What was that all about? He looked up at the sky where the lights had disappeared, his expression solemn.
The monarch followed the terms of the treaty according to their laws. The Fae who acted to harm us and your mother have had their lights snuffed out.
Oh. My stomach bawled. I followed his gaze, thinking of those lives wiped out. Just like they'd destroyed my mother's life. Just like they'd treated the rogue the fey woman in the mountain had claimed they'd found stalking us. That was how the fey worked, apparently. Quick and brutal. Not the kind of enemies I really wanted to keep. The conflict between us and them isn't over, is it? I said. Aaron's mouth set in a grim line.
No, I don't think it is. But we're better prepared for whatever they try next than we've ever been before. And now my kin have all seen the sway you hold over them, too.
He looked at me and smiled. I couldn't help smiling back. Maybe it was okay to pretend, just for a little while, that all our problems were solved. The celebration wound down as night thickened around us. My eyelids were heavy by the time I found myself meandering down the estate's hall toward my rooms with my 4 alphas in tow. When I caught sight of my door up ahead, a longing squeezed tight around my heart. Some part of my mind tripped back 7 years to the nights curled up in the otherwise empty apartment that had been my mother's, waiting with less and less hope every time to hear her key in the door. I never wanted to feel that alone again. I shouldn't, now that I'd found my mates. But just knowing they'd be on the other side of those walls suddenly didn't feel like enough. Nate moved to head to his own rooms, and I held out my hand. No, stay with me. My gaze slid over my other mates, Aaron calm and steady, Marco amused but slightly uncertain. West as gruff as ever. All of you. I want you to stay. Please? I'm not asking anything more than that. I just don't want to sleep alone. I knew Aaron and Nate didn't really need to be asked. Marco gave me his sly smile and said,
"As you wish, Princess of Flames."
West looked as if he'd bit back a scowl. But he inclined his head, as if to say he'd go along with the request, begrudgingly. Apparently, he decided he needed to actually say it, too. I held the door while they all filed in, and he paused in front of me.
"Look, Sparks, what I said in front of the Fey Monarch doesn't mean..."
I rolled my eyes. "Of course," I said. "No commitments assumed. Now come on. I'm exhausted. Aren't you?" I climbed into the middle of the massive bed and settled amid the spread of pillows. The guys surrounded me, Nate and Aaron cuddling right up to me on either side. Marco and West kept a little more distance, but I hadn't expected anything else. I could still feel their bond, winding warm and solid around me. The 5 of us together, the way I knew down in my soul it was meant to be. My nerves settled. My body relaxed into the bed. I drifted off into sleep, encased in the certainty that no matter what troubles lay ahead, I was exactly where I belonged. A frantic knocking shook me awake. I blinked in the dark room as my mates stirred around me. With a huff of breath I recognized as West's, one of the guys pushed off the bed and stalked to the door. The rest of us sat up. I rubbed my bleary eyes, my heart hammering.
"What is it?"
West muttered as he opened the door. A quavering voice carried through the sitting room to the bed.
"We've just gotten word. There's been an attack on the Bear Alpha's estate."
This concludes Dragon's Tears by Eva Chase, narrated by Felicity Monroe and Joe Arden. Copyright 2017 by Eva Chase. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Eva Chase, care of Hirschman Rights Management, LLC, and was produced in the year 2018 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.